morning. Welcome to the Sussex County Council October 24th, 2017 meeting. First thing will be the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's amendment agenda.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I would yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of October 17th. Any questions or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
No.
Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. I'm going to guess we have a couple people.
Sorry.
Have a couple people signed up. Okay.
Mr. President, do you want to remind the public? I see some few new visitors to our chambers of the rules of procedures related to public comment.
Yes. In the public comment section, if you've signed up, everybody has 3 minutes. As you come up front, you will see a green light, yellow light, red light. Red light lights up. Your 3 minutes is done. I'm going to ask you to stop. It would be nice if you could, if someone else has said something, you just agree with them, just to say, I agree with it, versus repeating the same thing all over again.
That's my son.
Because if not, by number of signed up times three, we'll be here till about 12 o'clock with public comment. So you're all welcome to say what you want to. We're going to start off here with Stephen B. Stephen B. B-E-A. Here he comes. There you go.
Mr. President, is it relevant to make sure they all know we cannot speak to them also?
That is correct. There will be no comments from council. When you speak, we do answer you back. It's not on the agenda, which you're talking about.
Thank you. Here I represent the Brotherhood of Maintenance Way Employees Division. I am the legislative director for the state of Maryland. I'm here to support my fellow brothers from the state of Delaware. One of some facts of the right to work that is slated for discussion today. I just want to point out that the average wage salary is $5,000 difference in non-rate to work states. Medium household income is $6,000 less. Low wage jobs percentage is 10% higher in non-rate to work states. Uninsured adults is 3% higher in states with right to work. Uninsured children are 3% higher in states that have passed the right to work. Workers with job-based health insurance have a higher percentage of 4%. Employers offering insurance are 6% higher in states without this heinous ruling. Employers, the poverty rate amongst adults is 2%, 2.5% higher. The poverty rates among children are almost 3% higher. Also, the rate of employer-sponsored retirement plans is nearly 5% lower in right-to-work states. Rate of workplace deaths is 52% higher in states that currently have the right to work for less laws. The right to work states spend $2,670 more on less per pupil on elementary and secondary education than non-right to work. Grades are also likely to be lower in states that have passed this. The infant mortality rate is also 16% higher and right to work for less states. So I just wanted everybody to keep these facts in mind as this discussion goes forward.
Thank you. I will remind you, we will not have applause.
It's not a public hearing.
Not a public hearing. There's no applause. There's no oohs, ahs. We're going to be civil about this. Are we get a chance to talk? So end of that. William Glass.
Good morning, members of the council. Thank you for having me. My name is William Glass. I'm the state legislative director for the state of Delaware, BMWE of the IBT. First, I want to say I agree with everything my brother that was up here before me said. I would like to try to tie it into what I heard when I was here 2 weeks ago. I heard comments from some of the council members. They would like for their families to come back to Lower Delaware, raise their kids here, and this all all goes back to having good jobs and having a good community to raise your family in. This right to work legislation started back with the Taft-Hartley Act, 1947. It was primarily drafted to curb union influence. I just want to say that the top 10 unemployment states in the United States, 7 of them are right-to-work states. Right-to-work does not create jobs. We had a fellow here at the last meeting that stated that his biggest problem with drawing business into Sussex County had to do with infrastructure, tax rates, affordable housing, good schools, and these are all things that right to work doesn't help. By paying people less, your tax base is less. Right to work states spend about $3,100 less per student in the elementary and secondary school levels than the comparison with open states. The same thing trickles down. The health benefits offered by employers are less, pension participation, that sort of thing. So without just throwing figures like my brother before me did, I'm not going to do that. This all goes back to what you guys were talking about 2 weeks ago. Having a good community, good schools, good jobs, and having a place where you're kids can come back to and raise their families. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, sir. Charlie Timmons. Charlie Timmons.
Are they not providing their addresses? Do they have to provide their address?
When they sign in, they're supposed to give an address, I think.
Yeah.
It's the address on the form. It's on the form.
Good morning. My name is Charlie Timmons, representing the Delaware chapter of the Associated Builders and Contractors. Our organization represents 450 commercial and industrial contractors in Delaware and is part of a national organization that has 70 chapters around the country with over 22,000 member companies. We support the right to work ordinance being discussed today. Our support of this ordinance originates from a belief that all individuals have the right to work without the requirement to join a union or pay union dues or fees as a condition of employment. The purpose of right to work law is not to eliminate unions, but rather to guarantee basic fairness for workers. Right to work laws ensure workers have an opportunity to choose whether union representation makes sense for them. As you may be aware, 28 states have adopted right to work laws. Most recently, Kentucky and Missouri adopted them in early 2017. Many state leaders believe right-to-work laws could be a key to jump-starting economic growth in the wake of the recession. Economic growth in right-to-work states often outpaces growth in states where workers are forced to join a union or pay a fee to organize labor as a condition of employment. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports private sector employment grew 5.2% faster in right-to-work states than in non-right-to-work counterparts. While some suggest these economic gains come at the expense of workers' wages, Department of Commerce data shows per capita disposable personal income was higher in right-to-work states than the national average, as well as higher than non-right-to-work states. Delaware continues to struggle with financial stability, economic development, and job growth. Any ordinance or law that would promote increased opportunity for companies to expand their workforce and put Delawareans to work should be moved forward. With this in mind, Associated Builders and Contractors Delaware chapter reiterates its support for the passage of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. G. Kevin Fasick.
Good morning, members of council. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. My name is Kevin Fasick. I'm an attorney with Offutt Kerman in Wilmington, Delaware. My firm is also a member of the Associated Builders and Contractors Delaware chapter. I've been asked to speak on some of the legal issues surrounding this ordinance. As I believe council is aware, prior to last year, the conventional wisdom was that a political subdivision of a state did not have the authority to pass a right-to-work ordinance such as this ordinance. That conventional wisdom was changed by a decision out of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in November of last year, which held that a political subdivision, such as a county, municipality, does have the ability under the National Labor Relations Act to pass right-to-work legislation. That decision was appealed to the United States Supreme Court. There was a writ of certiorari requested. The Supreme Court declined to hear that case. What that means is the Sixth Circuit decision stands. What could happen if Sussex County were to pass this legislation? Well, undoubtedly there would be a court challenge. The district court here in Delaware would hear that case. More than likely, the case would go up to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. I would love to tell you I can predict what a court will do with any given case or decision. I'd be a lot more successful if I could do that. Unfortunately, I can't. However, if the Third Circuit were to take a contrary stance, you would have a split among the circuits. What that means is the U.S. Supreme Court would undoubtedly take this case up. And my assessment of this from reading the law and knowing a little bit about the courts is that they declined to hear the Sixth Circuit case. More than likely, they would uphold this case. I want to be very clear, I'm not here to speak about home rule or any of the intricacies of state law that may affect this, just simply how the federal courts are likely to rule on this. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Kevin Burdett. Kevin Burdett.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Later today, Councilman Arlett is scheduled to bring forward again a proposed ordinance to promote economic development by regulating the involuntary payments required of employees throughout Sussex County. I'm in favor of this ordinance introduction so that a public meeting may be held and a full discussion may occur for you gentlemen to be able to make an informed decision. My father, who I considered a hero to me, once told me, boy, don't ever make a decision in a vacuum of knowledge. A public hearing is your ability to get that public knowledge. Once you're able to get the appropriate information, then and only then can you decide if this is what Sussex County needs. I personally see the proposed ordinance as another tool in the toolbox of potentially attracting business to Sussex County. I lived in Seaford during the days of DuPont. And I remember the financial advantages and the activities and prosperity from Laurel to Greenwood. Hopefully, if this ordinance is successful, it will eventually approved, we may see these financial times again. Glenn Beck once said, because others have let us down, it is now our duty to face the hard truths and do the right things. I'm asking you to do the right thing today. Allow Councilman Arlett to introduce the ordinance so we can have a full discussion. In sake of time, I have submitted two emails that were sent to me by constituents in your districts, Therese Lessman and Mary Spicer. I've given those to Mr. Lawson that he can distribute to you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President, you
yes,
may
sir.
Want to tell who's on deck.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, speaking again, sure, yeah.
That would help. Save a little time.
That would save it. A minute.
Good suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So don't have as many people. Rick Bell.
And who's
Rick
on deck?
Rick Bell. And in the on-deck circle is Jason Mosher.
Mr. President, we have a publicized 10-15 public hearing as well.
Yes, we do. We'll let this gentleman speak, then we'll do a move to that.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Rick Bell. I've grown up here in Georgetown, and I'm in support of the Sussex Sports Complex. I'm a pickleball player, Been playing for about 6 years, travel across the country, playing in tournaments, and pickleball has changed my life. I've lost 70 pounds,
wow.
And it's truly because of pickleball. There's many, many other stories of people that have done some really neat things and have started playing pickleball and has really changed their life. I used to be the vice president of First State Pickleball Club, and we went from 60 members 3 years ago to 400 members, actually over 400 members. It's growing quickly nationally, and we need more pickleball courts, both indoor and outdoor. For me to be able to travel, sometimes I have to go as much as 2 hours or more to get to good competition and play. We have the courts here in Georgetown. I know that there'll be plenty of people to be able to fill the courts up, play, and I think it would be a great thing. So thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Jason Moser, if you just stay in the on-deck circle, wherever you are, we're going to go to our 10:15 advertised public hearing, get that done.
We'll be right back.
Who is doing that?
Yes, Mr. Ashman, I believe.
Okay, I'll hear it. There you go.
Yes, and Mr. President, this is the time and place for a public hearing on the Pratt annexation of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District in Bayview Estates area. Mr. Ashman will give an overview of this to the County Council. After that, Council will have an opportunity to ask questions of Mr. Ashman, and then the matter will be opened up to the public so that any member of the public may comment on this and give us your opinions. After that, the public hearing will be closed, and the Council will have an opportunity to act on it at that point. Mr. Ashman.
Thank you. Good morning. Permission to prepare and post notices for the expansion was granted on September 26th of 2017. The owner of parcel 533-19-56 has requested the annexation. The owner is demolishing an existing cottage and building a new residence. The parcel is adjacent to our sewer district, and the engineering department has planned capacity for the parcel. Lateral was installed for the parcel as part of a previous project, and the project will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. The parcel was posted on October 6, 2017. To date, we have had no responses to the posting, neither in support or in opposition.
Any questions from council? If not, is there any member of the public here today that would like to address this issue? Is there any member of the public here today that would like to address this? Mr. President, seeing none, we can close the public hearing on this matter and close the public record if council desires.
Close the public hearing, so give the council close the record. Ask somebody to read
short title resolution. A resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Bayview Estates area, to include a parcel of land 533-19.00-56.00 along the east side of Williamsville Road, located in the Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware, recorded in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I'll be a motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now, we're back to our on-deck batter, Jason Moser. And Carol Bodine's on deck. As soon as he gets done, you're next.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I'm here to support the Sussex County Sports Complex. I am a board member with Hamilton Soccer Club, have been for 12 years. The soccer club has been in existence for over 20 years here in the area. First, I'd like to talk about the location. The location is perfect. It pulls from every district here. You already have people commuting heavily on your roads, as you already know. The youth and the parents are already here. Think of Sussex Tech. Think of Sussex Academy. Older young adults are here. Think of Del Tech. They all have a need. They're from all over the district. Next, I'd like to talk about Hamilton Soccer Club. What sets us apart? Why are we different? We've never had fields. We have 1,200 members, member children, from every district here. We are Sussex County. We are not in any competition with anyone else, like your Boys and Girls Club in Seaford or River. We want them to thrive because they are doing the right thing as well, which is giving the youth of our area something positive to do. Why would someone come to us, though? Why would they pass those places? Could be they're already commuting. Could be they're going to the schools. Could be they like our programming. Could be there's other opportunities. We give a lot of scholarships. And it could be that we give a great sense of community. Our rec days are fantastic if you've never been to them. Everyone from every district is there. Children, families, parents, grandparents enjoying Sussex County. So I'd ask that you please consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Carol Budine.
And who's next?
And on deck is Betty McGrath.
Good morning. I'm Carol Budine from Ocean View, Delaware. Full disclosure, I'm on the town council in Ocean View, and I'm secretary for the state Republican Party. I am here to support the right to work or legislation in Sussex County. We elected a full slate of Republicans on our council, and right to work is a Republican issue. Kentucky was not a right to work state when two of their counties brought up this issue and stood up to lawsuits and won. We can too. I'm tired of legislators being afraid to stand up to their opposition, as we have seen at the federal level. Sussex County is the third largest county east of the Mississippi. Let's stand on the right side of this issue and put Sussex County on the national map.
Betty McGrath. Next is going to be Jermaine Johnson, is on deck.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I wanted to express my deep concern and opposition to the proposal to bring right-to-work provisions to Sussex County. The so-called right-to-work provisions actually undermine the rights of working people. The name implies that it's meant to help working men and women. However, it does not. Right-to-work provisions reduce or destroy representation for workers on the job. Without representation, workers are at the mercy of management without a unified voice. Right-to-work should be called by its true name: right to pay lower wages, right to gut safety workers' safety, right to deny workers a place at the negotiating table. I hope council members consider carefully the true meaning of right to work and oppose passage of this proposal. I thank you for your thoughtful consideration. I am a resident of Milton, Delaware.
Thank you. Jermaine Johnson. And on deck is John Brown.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. My name is Jermaine Johnson. I have been a member of this community for 44 years, and as a pastor and hardworking member of our community and United Commercial Workers, UFCW Local 27 Union family, I would like to express my strong opposition to work for less law being considered in Sussex County, which many politicians are misleadingly calling right to work. Work for less directly threatens every hardworking family in our community. This law isn't about creating better jobs. It's about cutting wages and benefits so that everybody must work for more for less money, as well as silencing our voices in the workplace. Too many people in our community are already feeling financially squeezed and struggling to save anything and provide for their families. It will also weaken the ability of my coworkers and I, who have chosen to join UFCW Union Family, to improve our work conditions, negotiate with our employer for better wages, better benefits, equal pay, equal work pay, and protection from exploitation or harassment. The people who are pushing this law are doing so for a simple reason, to destroy unions. The main supporters of this law are out-of-state millionaires, billionaires, and big corporations who believe employers should be free to dictate the terms and conditions of employment without any input from workers like me, my coworkers, families, friends, and church members, etc. They see the ability of hardworking people to earn better wages and benefits as a threat to their corporate profits and powers. My coworkers and I chose to join the union, and we wanted to build a better life for ourselves, and we continue to do that. For example, union workers are 27% higher, paid 27% higher than other non-union counterparts. I want to say, supporters of Work for Less will say this law expands freedoms and creates jobs. But we know the truth. Work for Less means limiting our ability as employees to access more of wealth we are helping to create. In my closing, I want to say this. If Work for Less passes, it will make our economic challenges even worse. If Work for Less passes, it will be easier for irresponsible corporations to flood our community with low-paying jobs that provide benefits and no future for us and our children. If Work for Less passes, it will make it harder for friends, neighbors, and family members to earn a better life. The hard-working families of Sussex County, where I was born, raised, and live, deserve better than Work for Less. Please protect our voice in the workplace and stop this bad law from passing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. John Brown. And on deck is Maurice McGrath, I think it is.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name's John Brown. I'm a retired carpenter who lives in Lewis. I've been living in Delaware my entire life. I moved to Lewis 14 years ago to work here, retired recently. I do want to make a few comments. And you're going to hear a lot of things about right to work, what it is, and all the different sides. But one of the things is this isn't a necessary bill. And I'll tell you why. In 1947, Taft-Hartley passed the law that says that no one can be forced to join a union. And that's the law of the land today. And in 1988, Communication Workers of America versus Beck, that was reaffirmed that you could not be forced to join or forced to pay portions of the dues like political action, things that you feel are, against your, what you believe in. So it already forbids forced union membership. But what this bill will do, if you make this the law of land, is it will allow, first off, it will restrict free business owners and a nonprofit organization from entering into an agreement, which they do today, that helps their workers. And it's been proven over years that it makes working conditions better, and you're going to restrict that free commerce with a bill like this. So consider that. Also, if it's about freedom, if you really believe it's about freedom, and Mr. Arlette, one of the articles I read that it was about the freedom of workers' right to choose, then I would think that you would also support a bill is my right as a citizen of Sussex County to choose whether I want to be a member of Sussex County by choosing whether I want to pay property taxes. So, because really it's the same thing. You either have the right to choose or you don't have the right to choose. You want to take that away from businesses and private people to have that ability to do that and fund their organization, but it's the same way you're funded in Sussex County. So you will support that. I'm sure that will be the next bill that you'll put up in front of the council. And the last thing is, when businesses come to Delaware, and Mr. Arlette alluded to this in one of the articles, where is right to work on that list of things? It's very far down. Infrastructure, education, workforce development, et cetera, are way higher on the list. And Sussex County has one of the lowest amounts of unionism in the state. If that's the case, and this is really going to help, why aren't the businesses flocking here already when there's no fear of being unionized? The truth is, it's not the number one issue. It's not even the number 5, 6, 7, or 8 issue that a business looks at. And you guys know it because Mr. Arlette, Councilman Arlette, even admitted that in one of the articles. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll ask one more time. There'll be no applause. We appreciate that. Maurice McGrath. Next is Bianca Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. President, Council, for this opportunity to speak. I am speaking against this right-to-work law. Right-to-work laws of this type, they don't help working people. They only hurt them. They hurt working people usually by taking away their wages, benefits, and safety conditions on the job site, whether it's in a factory or in construction or whatever type of workplace they're in. These laws, they don't just affect construction people, construction workers, factory workers, but they affect people in many occupations, teachers, nurses, and many others, whether they're union or non-union. They diminish pay, safety conditions on the job site. The average loss, as has been said already, working person between $1,500 a year and $5,000 a year. For hardworking people here in this county already, many of them who are already struggling, to lose that amount of money per person, if you've got a working couple, they're going to lose $1,500 per person. So a couple, some of them working 50, 60 hours a week, to lose $3,000 to $10,000 a year in pay, how is that going to help their families? It's not. It's going to make things a lot harder for them. Safety on jobs that gets put aside for corporate profits. This can also become a terrible cost of life and loss of limbs. Again, this effect on families and their income, and how that will affect other jobs in the county. They're not going to have the income to spend money. They're not going to be able to go to the stores, buy clothing for their children, even to help their kids be able to be in sports or anything like that, to have the extra income to go and spend money like that. So please do not pass this type of legislation. It will only hurt working people in this county. Thank you.
Thank you. It's hard to read the printing. Bianca or Rodriguez, come right on up here. Next is John Rodriguez.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here and to be part of this really important conversation. Again, my name is Bianca Rodriguez. I'm a resident of Seaford, Delaware, and I'm actually here to talk a little bit about the economic impact of the right-to-work legislation that could possibly be introduced. I'm a local realtor, and I also sit on the board of a local nonprofit. My husband and I, we moved here about 5 years ago, and we moved to Sussex County because of the values we felt Sussex County holds, the interest for the community. And I'm here in opposition of this legislation. As a realtor, the majority of my clientele are the working class. It's those people that truly, truly have the American dream. As we all know, home ownership is right up there with marriage and children and living a satisfying life. The majority of my clientele, again, are working class people. And if this right to work legislation were to be introduced and possibly passed in our county, the economic devastation that it could have on those people and therefore in our local economy, I mean, we're talking about our would lower their purchasing power. We would take away that dream that people work all their lives for. Again, I moved here 5 years ago because of the values of Sussex County, because I felt like, wow, Sussex County really cares, again, about their family, community members, and friends. And this type of legislation goes against those values. This type of legislation, it doesn't coincide with what I thought and I feel and I truly believe Sussex County is all about. So again, as a local business person and as someone who truly believes in this county and truly believes in supporting our friends, our family, and our neighbors, I ask you, please, please do not go forward with this legislation. Thank you.
John Rodriguez. On deck is John Reichert.
Hello. Your name is
Reichert? No, Rodriguez. John Rodriguez. You're next, sir. I'm sorry. No, you're good.
Your hearing's not there.
That's fine. That's fine.
I was confused, too.
Don't go far.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is John Rodriguez. I am a Sussex County resident, a worker, and real estate investor. Excuse me. I'm here in opposition today for the Right to Work for Less legislation that's going to be discussed and introduced. I'm a firm believer that in order to know where we're going, we need to know where we've come from. For example, I was born and raised in a working poor neighborhood in New York City. I grew up in project tenements. My wife and I have relocated to Sussex County 5 years ago, and we have not only been able to become homeowners, but we also own a handful of single-family homes that we rent out to working families. The opportunities associated with moving to Sussex County have been endless, and we are aware of all of our blessings because we truly and humbly remember where we come from. Not to make this into a history lesson, but again, in order to know where Right to Work for Less is headed, we need to have an understanding of where it comes from. Right to Work for Less is about dividing and conquering the workplaces, period. Vance Muse, who created Right to Work for Less in the early 40s, was investigated by Congress and the FBI for all sorts of corruption. He was a top lobbyist against child labor laws and lobbied against women's suffrage movement. His intent was to divide the support for the New Deal through sexism and racism. Vance Muse frequently used the N-word, made many anti-Semitic comments, and simply put, he was a racist. With such hatred used to create the Right to Work for Less, the future holds, if passed here in Sussex County, is gloomy. In fact, we don't even have to wait for the future to get here. We can just take a look at other states that have been implemented some sort of Right to Work for Less legislation. Many credible studies have shown that households in the Right to Work for Less states make on average $6,000 less than their counterparts. Specifically, my wife and I, we believe that lowering the wages for working class families means that less rent that our tenants can afford to pay. Local contractors, plumbers, electricians, painters, roofers, and landscapers will also be adversely affected. If our tenants pay less, then we will need to pay less for those services. If the goal is to increase economic development and keep the American dream alive, I can assure you that the Right to Work for Less is not the path we want to go down. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Riker. On deck is Ted Kidler.
Thank you, members, for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm going to speak from the hip. In 1924, I started working in a drugstore at 9. I was paid nothing. I got tips for delivering ice cream to the other end of the borough. Then I went to work at about 12 for a contractor. We got nothing. Water came in a bucket that everybody drank from. It probably got scurvy and I don't know what else. Finished high school, then the government got me. And I did what they told me to do for 4 years. After I got out, I went back to construction again. Construction was crazy after the war. When I joined a union, after having worked for pennies and nothing, you know what John Kelly did with the bricklayers? Gave them bigger cups to drink from instead of the little cups, so it wouldn't take as much time off the bricklayers. I'll look in my book here. And I was inducted in the Ardmore Local Union October 21st, 1953. I had a great job with carpenters up there. We had a great organization. We built homes, we built houses. And I can tell you, we're non-union buildings were put up, they fell down because they didn't stay up to standards. And I oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ted Kidler. On deck is Brian Richardson.
Esteemed members of the County Council, my name is Ted Kidler, and I am counsel for the Cesar Rodney Institute, also known as CRI. I rise on behalf of CRI to support the proposed Right to Work statute. Council members, CRI believes this to be a necessary and proper exercise of the county's power. In 1970, the General Assembly enacted the Sussex County Home Rule Act, codified at 9 Delaware C, section 7001, et sec. This is substantially the same as the Newcastle County Home Rule Act that was enacted in 1965. Under the statute, the county has been granted the ability to pass this. The statute states the county government shall assume and have all powers which under the Constitution of the state it would be competent for the General Assembly to grant by specific enumeration and which are not denied by statute. This is by statute to be liberally construed. What does that mean? It means that if this is challenged, whether or not you have the authority to do this, you have the strength to say, yes, we do have the authority to do it. While the county may pause on the language stating that this grant or power does not include the power to enact private or civil law concerning civil relationships, except as incident to the exercise of an expressly granted power, don't pause there. This provision has only been sporadically addressed here in Delaware, and never, ever in the context of what the county is doing here. In fact, in one of the cases that actually focused on the exercise of authority by the county to come up with a new provision that was not specifically addressed under the county code, or excuse me, under the state code, the Delaware Supreme Court analyzed it and issued a statement that it was undisputed that the General Assembly had the power, therefore the county has the power to do this. This right to work statute fits within the welfare of the general welfare promotion that the county is attempting to do here. You have the ability to do this. You have the right to do this. I grew up in Seaford, Delaware, and watched as the Seaford plant has slowly faded away. I want jobs back here just as much as everyone else in this room wants jobs back here. And we believe, Caesar Rodney Institute believes this is the way to do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Welcome our Senator, Brian Richardson. And on deck is Eric Maston.
Thank you. I'm here for to support the right to work ordinance from two perspectives. One, the state senators from Sussex County, four of the five have written a letter to the council members in support of this legislation. Ernie Lopez did not. He said he will not endorse any letters. He does his own things personally. Also have the support of Colin Bonini. We didn't reach out to Kent County, but he offered his support anyway. So he has a letter also. The other perspective I offer is on a personal basis. I live very close to the DuPont plant. It now has about 100 employees, maybe a little bit more than that. When I first got out of high school, I worked for the DuPont plant. It had 4,600 employees plus contract workers. If you go by the DuPont plant parking lot now, which when I was working there out of high school, if I got there a little late, which I tended to do sometimes, it's hard to find a parking place. Now if you look at the parking lot, it's covered with weeds. So we want to bring jobs back to our area. You talk about the poverty rate and in different states and all that. The poverty rate in our area is very high in Seaford and Laurel and other areas. So we need to bring jobs to this area. Delaware is the only state where workers have the salaries of workers have declined over the past 10 years. So if we're concerned about the prosperity of the families, the working families and all that, what we really need to do is bring some jobs and some job opportunities. From that, there's other opportunities for businesses to grow too, and real estate to sell, to people to rent real estate and so forth. So there is also mentioned the cost of living. It was also mentioned that in non-right-to-work states, there are higher wages, but also in those non-right-to-work states, a much higher cost of living in a lot of those areas. So, you know, that's a comparison that really doesn't hold water. Our schools do need improvement, but we're not going to improve our schools until we have the resources to do that. So I believe in this. This will help us quite a bit. So thank you for your time. And I'm going to have to leave because I'm feeding a parking meter. So.
All right, family. Thank you, sir. Eric Maston. Eric Maston. And David Stevenson is on deck.
Council, fellow citizens, my name is Eric Maston. I'm a native son of Seaford, Delaware, native Sussex Countyan. As a matter of fact, my family, I've traced back on my father's side back to the 1700s in Sussex County. So we go pretty far back. On my mother's side, my mother came from Virginia. So I kind of have some knowledge of issues comparing Delaware to Virginia. I am totally opposed to the right to work for less. And I'll tell you why. I have a lot of family, who are business owners. I have family who were business owners down in Virginia, business owners up in Delaware. And I can tell you, by virtue of the laws and by virtue of the fact that people were not actively and gainfully employed in Virginia, those businesses suffered. The prosperity of my family, the side of my family up in Delaware, has been far more successful than my counterparts in my family in Virginia. I remember my Uncle Buddy, who was probably one of the best mechanics. He was a dirt track racer. Actually, he's listed in the Hall of Fame of dirt track racers down in Virginia. Great mechanic. He had to border up his gas station. He had to shut it down because the people in the area, it was so depressed because there were no jobs. As I drove down the street, looking, you know, from side to side, down through the Shenandoah Valley, the towns through there, businesses boarded up. People were going to minimum wage jobs. My cousin, God bless her, my cousin today is still working for a minimum wage job, and she is 62 years of age. It breaks my heart. My other cousins down in Virginia fled to Northern Virginia, to Alexandria, fled to Colorado, fled to Pennsylvania in order to make a living and to make things happen. I can tell you that right to work for less is not good for Delaware. It is not good for Sussex County. It is not good for the citizens. It's not good for the workers. It's not good for the businesses. You will not see an increase if right to work for less becomes law in Sussex County. It is a bad law. It's bad for business. Shouldn't happen. I'm sad today. I told someone today I was really sad. This was a very sad day to me as a native Sussex Countyan. I've bought, my family's bought plenty of cars from Burton's. Mercedes, BMWs, Chevys. We need people to have good jobs to have expendable income. That's what will drive this economy. If you bring in right to work for less, we will have less, and we will suffer as a community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. David Stevenson. On deck is Paul Rigger.
Yes, I'm David Stevenson from Caesar Rodney Institute. I'm here as an economist and a policy analyst. I'm from Lewis. I'm also representing my 7 children and 17 grandchildren I would like to see have jobs. We have talked about the need for more union jobs, and Indiana had right to work passed in 2012. 2014, they added 120,000 jobs. 50,000 of those jobs were union jobs. So if we want more, union jobs, we need more jobs, period. We've heard a lot about working the right to work for less. Most of the non-right to work states are highly urbanized states like California and New York. Most of the right to work states are rural states. Buying a house in Alabama is a quarter of the price of buying a house in California. You've got to adjust those income numbers for cost of living. And when you do that, right to work states have identical wage growth to non-right to work states. I look at Delaware was the 40th slowest growing state in the country. West Virginia passed right to work January of 2016, last year, they were the second fastest growing state in the country. They were growing at 10 times the rate of Delaware. If we look at out of the 25 fastest growing states, 18 of those last year were right-to-work states. So if we want a fast-growing economy, we need right-to-work. There are some other things that were brought up today that I'd like to mention. We talked about fatalities. Again, we have this urbanized versus rural state correction that we need to make. Unfortunately, farming is a dangerous occupation. When you have a lot of farmers, you have a lot of fatalities. If you correct for, if compared just manufacturing jobs from right-to-work states to other states, the fatality rates are actually identical. So, one more gross statistic, if you look at 2016, the right-to-work states grew 21% faster than non-right-to-work states. So that's the way we're going to get jobs. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger. On deck is Dan Kramer.
They got here late today.
Pages are out of order. We were on page two. Good morning, Paul Rieger. I just want to like to...